Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we'll be talking a little bit about what's been going on with the stock market. Obviously a rougher start to the week this week for the overall market and Tesla as well. Most of this being attributed to the Evergrande situation in China, so we'll briefly go through that. And then we do have other news. We've got some updates from Elon Musk on the FSD beta, Elon's comments on President Biden, some news on possible next gigafactories, Tesla's referral program, and a few other stories as well. All right, so Tesla stock today starting off the week down 3.9% to $730.17, but that was in a tough macro environment. The NASDAQ was down 2.2%, which was the worst day for the NASDAQ in just over 4 months. Conversely, this is only the worst day for Tesla in about a month. So I guess relatively a good performer today, actually. And compared to other automakers like Ford, GM, NIO, etc., Tesla actually performing about the same or even better. So really just the latest example of a day where the macro environment is really overwhelming anything related to most individual stocks, which happens all the time. And it's a good reminder that no matter how confident you are in a company over the short-term basis, a lot of that is still going to be influenced on what's going on the macro level. It's one of many reasons that I like holding for very, very long periods of time. So anyway, I'm sure most of you have heard about the Evergrande situation by now. We won't spend a ton of time on it, but just to provide the high-level context for the situation there, Evergrande is China's second largest real estate developer. They've got some other business units too that are in some cases related, some cases not. But anyway, they're a company that's been growing extremely quickly. And to do that in real estate development, you obviously need a lot of capital for those real estate projects. And in Evergrande's case, they financed that through debt. So to keep things simple, basically they got overextended. They took on too much debt. And now they're in a situation where they may not be able to make the required principal and interest payments on that debt. Bloomberg reporting over the weekend that Chinese authorities have already told major lenders to not expect repayment on some of those things that are due this week. When a company is facing a challenge like this in liquidity, it becomes even further exacerbated by the fact that it becomes more difficult to raise capital to get out of that problem. Bankruptcy risk is obviously going to put a damper on your share price, so it's going to be more difficult to sell shares and raise capital. And then if you're already having trouble meeting your current debt obligations, well, it's going to be hard to find someone to lend you more. And if you can find a lender, well, the terms on that are probably going to be pretty rough. So there can be kind of this downward spiraling effect created from this crisis of confidence. And this is what Tesla shorts expected would happen with Tesla, that they would get overextended. They would take on too much debt to build too much factory space to make vehicles that they either couldn't make profitably or they couldn't find enough buyers for, and therefore not getting enough cash flow to service their debt. Obviously, in Tesla's case, it played out the exact opposite way, but that does sometimes happen. So for a big company like this that has its hands in a lot of assets, particularly in real estate, news like that obviously creates concern in the market, creates skittishness. People get concerned about fallout in other areas, wondering, you know, is Evergrande a needle that then pops a China housing bubble or real estate bubble? Could this lead to policy changes in China to be more restrictive of growth? Could those even ripple internationally? All of the, I suppose, sort of naturally underlying risks of the economy in general tend to get amplified when something like this happens. That being said, doesn't mean there aren't ways to work through those risks and challenges, and especially when we're talking about China on a national scale. In the case of Evergrande too, it's not like it should be a complete shock that something like this is happening. Shares of Evergrande are down 80% just this year alone, and that was before it was headline news on every major business site in the world today. So we'll see how this develops this week. It's obviously going to continue to be watched and discussed very closely. Personally, I don't have huge concerns at this point in time, but again, that comes from a long-term perspective, where I am personally more than ready to sit through a period of time where the market is down 20% or more, maybe Tesla's down even further. But things like that tend to not faze me too much because really they're just bumps in the road on the path towards 2030. And just to be clear, I'm not saying that is what I expect from this. It's actually not at all what I expect, but if it were to happen, I would be prepared. Anyway, we'll move on here. Next up, we've got quite a few updates and clarifications from Elon Musk on the status of the FSD beta and how that rollout is gonna go. First up, Elon doubled down on the timeline. So in reply to a tweet questioning that timeline and saying that the specificity of it might make it more likely, Elon replying saying, quote, "It will be there," end quote. So I think this is, what, a tripling down now on that date. Unfortunately, we do still have some of the ambiguity from that original date because he said a week from Friday, and it was kind of the changeover between Thursday and Friday at that point in time. So anyway, we don't know if it's the 24th of September or the 1st of October that 10.1 is going to drop, which is the version that will have the beta request button. Elon shared a few more details on how that process exactly is going to work, though, in response to a whole Mars video here of a zero disengagement drive. Elon noting that it's, quote, remarkable how few people realize this capability exists. Many think it is 5 years away. With public beta rollout in coming weeks, awareness should improve dramatically, end quote. In subsequent replies, Elon explained a little bit more about how that process is going to work. Of course, we know about the beta request button and a 7-day period of time for Tesla to assess driving behavior, but it had been unclear if that was 7 days after pressing the button or 7 days before. So pressing the button would grant Tesla approval to look at that driving telemetry, and Elon confirming that that will happen for the, quote, 7 days after approval to log driving style, end quote. So push the button, request the beta, Tesla will track your driving for 7 days, and then if it's good, Tesla will give you the beta. As for how they're judging good or not, Elon says, quote, Tesla insurance calculator will show status in real time and tell you what actions are needed to be rated good driver, end quote. He also notes that this sort of monitoring has to be specifically turned on, it's not there in shadow mode, and that driving on autopilot would be considered good behavior. So putting all of that together, my read on it is that it should be pretty easy to get the beta. I mean, you're going to have the scoreboard right there, and driving in a safe manner for a week, especially when it's just really considering things like the telematics, I would certainly hope that should be pretty simple. So to me, it looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty wide release. Elon did also confirm that those who are FSD subscribers would be eligible for the beta, so I think we're going to see a huge spike in subscription rate when this thing does come out. Regardless of whether 10.1 drops on September 24th or October 1st, it does look like any impact here is going to fall into Q4 because of that 7-day lag time from button to beta. So as we've talked about, I kind of like that because that means we'll get a real clean picture in Q3, and then we just get a lot of weird stuff all consolidated into Q4. All right, next up here, we've got some discussion about Tesla's next Gigafactory. There was an article, I guess, out of Russia today that was suggesting that a decision had been made for Tesla to build a Gigafactory in Russia. A report from a Russian site, which I obviously don't have any idea of their track record on. It doesn't look all that legitimate to me, but they cited two sources, one within the Ministry of Industry and Trade in Russia and one within the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, that the first Tesla electric car plant in Tesla would be built in Korolev near Moscow. So again, probably not the best source for the information, but we are talking about it because Elon did reply to a tweet about this potentially happening, saying, quote, Tesla has not yet decided on a fourth Gigafactory location, end quote. So it's not an outright denial of any interest in a factory in Russia, but that's not something that I would expect because obviously Tesla is considering multiple locations worldwide. Tesla wants the best incentives, so the more locations that are in the running, probably the better incentives Tesla can secure. I don't think Russia would make much sense as the location for the next Gigafactory, maybe somewhere down the line, but just for some context, each year Russia is responsible for total automotive production of about 1.5 million vehicles, a little bit less than 2% of the worldwide market, and automotive sales units in Russia are pretty similar. So not the smallest market in the world, there'd be some good engineering talent there, but then you also have to deal with the political implications too. Which, speaking of, Elon did have some thoughts to share on US politics over the weekend. So yesterday, somebody tweeting out, quote, the President of the United States has refused to even acknowledge the four newest American astronauts who helped raise hundreds of millions of dollars for St. Jude. What's your theory on why that is? End quote. Elon replying, quote, he's still sleeping. End quote. So we've talked about this. It's frustrating that there's no credit given to Tesla. Frustrating now that extending over to SpaceX. Both companies that are accomplishing truly great things for the country and not a word of acknowledgement. Elon following that up with a comment on a meme from the movie Alien with an alien called a face hugger on the face of a person with the face hugger labeled as the UAW and the person labeled as Biden saying, seems that way. So clearly Elon expressing some dissatisfaction there and of course getting some attention for that. All right, next up here, we've got an update on Tesla's referral program, and the update is essentially that it's been stopped in all cases except for the solar roof. Over the weekend, Tesla updated the referral program support page to say as of September 18th, vehicle products and solar panels are no longer eligible for referral awards. The solar roof remains unchanged, so that still keeps the $500 bonus on both sides. And of course, any free supercharger miles or whatever else earned previously, those are still valid until obviously they expire. So this isn't too terribly surprising to see. I mean, we just talked last week about how Tesla has wait times out until March now for some of their vehicles. In that type of a scenario, does it really make sense to provide even more incentives to generate more orders that you can't fulfill? Well, probably not. I could see an argument to keep it around to try to generate more higher performance, higher margin vehicle orders, but the more orders there you have, the longer it's going to take to deliver the cheaper cars. So that has its own trade-offs too, and wouldn't fault Tesla for not wanting to deal with that. I am a little bit surprised to see the incentive taken away from the solar panels. It still exists on the solar roof, obviously, but for the solar panels, hopefully that's a sign of strong demand there. Obviously, at any point, if Tesla feels like re-implementing this would be beneficial, they can do that. And we have seen some code in the app suggesting that they might have some other ideas in mind, though with how the demand has been, they may not end up needing to implement that. Quick piece of news here on the solar roof too, since we just brought that up. Looks like Tesla has been required to stick with their original pricing for solar roof orders prior to the huge price increase we saw earlier this year. I had a couple people reach out to me that were in that situation that have confirmed that, so it is good for those customers, and I'm happy to see that for them. As we talked about at the time, this was not a really a great move from Tesla, in my opinion. I wish Tesla would have honored those original prices, and now it looks like they are, but because they're being forced to, you don't really get much goodwill from that. Either way, looks like it'll now be resolved, so hopefully both sides can move forward. Next up, we've got a good article here from Fortune on the chip shortage. It's good because they have quotes from Intel CEO as well as Qualcomm's president of Europe and Volkswagen's head of procurement. The premise is that automakers want chip makers to invest to bring up production of old chip technology, which chip makers aren't really all that interested in doing. Intel CEO said, quote, "It just makes no economic or strategic sense. Rather than spending billions on new old fabs, let's spend millions to help migrate designs to modern ones," end quote. As far as hesitancy to do that, he added, quote, "A lot of it just has to do with the fact that these are proven designs," end quote. Qualcomm's president of Europe echoed those comments, saying, quote, "The new technologies are not pin-to-pin compatible. It's not just plug and play. You have to redesign the circuit, build a new board that might have to be recertified. Maybe there's some impact on the mechanical side that then could affect the car's chassis. So there's a domino effect of action needed," end quote. Finally then, VW's head of procurement recently said that, quote, "Because of a 50-cent chip, we are unable to build a car that sells for $50,000, end quote. So a couple of thoughts on this. I think obviously, first of all, it highlights how Tesla is better positioned relative to other automakers to be able to be more flexible in their design and more adaptable to work with parts that are available, like we have talked about, since Tesla noted that in their first quarter earnings report, which really is a broader point than just the chip shortage. It looks here from Intel CEO's comments that automakers are really wanting to stick with that old technology, wanting to avoid expensive redesigns for the sake of simplicity, for the sake of doing what they know, which is emblematic of the entire disruption that is happening right now. These companies want things to stay the same. They want to take the path of least resistance, and that is continuity. Tesla's culture is the inverse. Tesla wants new. They want change. The status quo, instead of being desired, is upsetting. Those results are visible right now as these companies work through the chip shortage, but there are thousands of other areas that are not surface level that we don't have visibility to that are playing out in the same exact way, and it's just going to take time for those things to surface. There might not be a better example of this than Toyota, which, despite their recent updated electric vehicle plans, is still continuing to be very vocal in their support of other powertrains, with their president recently noting the amount of jobs that are at risk due to electric vehicles. Talking about the number of vehicles that might be produced in Japan in 2030 that would still involve engines, and if that were to be regulated away, he said, quote, "which means manufacturing of greater than 8 million models can be misplaced, and the automotive trade may danger shedding the vast majority of 5.5 million jobs. If they are saying intercombustion engines are the enemy, we'd not have the ability to produce nearly any automobiles," end quote. Well, yeah, Toyota, that's kind of the point. That's why everyone is saying that you should start planning to produce a lot of electric vehicles now instead of ignoring what is coming. So disappointing to continue to see that from Toyota, but they don't seem to be changing their opinions there very much anytime soon. All right, final update here in the automotive space. It is being reported that NHTSA has opened up an investigation into 30 million vehicles in the United States related to Takata airbag inflators, which may sound familiar because over the last decade, there have been more than 67 million of these recalled. So if you did happen to see any news about that and it was tied into Tesla today, it's not a Tesla-specific thing, though Tesla is one of almost two dozen automakers that are under the umbrella of having vehicles that potentially have these parts with issues. Obviously, the likelihood of an issue is rare and nothing to do specifically with how Tesla has done anything, but wanted to at least make sure to cover that for the sake of completeness. All right, so lastly here, just a quick update on SpaceX. Obviously, huge congratulations to SpaceX for the successful splashdown and completion of the Inspiration4 mission over this weekend and for hitting their $200 million funding goal for St. Jude's. And it looks like that mission has sparked a lot of interest. So Eric Berger here, who we've had on the podcast before, he notes that Benji Reed, who is the senior director of human spaceflight at SpaceX, says that since Inspiration 4, the number of people approaching SpaceX about orbital flights is increasing significantly. Berger says, quote, "I know they're already negotiating for missions 3 years from now. I'd expect demand greatly exceeds supply," end quote. So very cool to see. We're definitely on the precipice of a new era. So with that, we'll wrap it up for today. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, September 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.